Today I'm going to give you a quick introduction to the system of the Enneagram. There are 9 types. I'm going to tell you what each one of these types focuses on or fixates on, what they're concerned with, and what the underlying emotion is, what their center of intelligence is. Is it the head, the heart, or the body? Stay tuned. Are your kids staging a rebellion against the sanity in your home? Is your child a living puzzle you can't understand? Are you craving insight into the minds of your adopted or stepchildren? There is a powerful way to learn how God designed them and how to guide them to their full potential, while also learning about yourself so you can overcome negative patterns that are stealing your joy. Welcome to Not So Normal Parenting, where we unravel the mysteries of family dynamics from toddlers to teens using team-building tools like Myers-Briggs and the Enneagram. I'm Wendy Gossett, personality prodigy and parenting coach, best-selling author, speaker, and viral, embarrassing dancing mom. I raised a son and daughter that are as different as Bob Ross and the Black Widow, and I am definitely not normal. Okay, let's dive into the beautifully not so normal together. Have you ever been sitting around in a conversation having people talk about, I'm a type 3, the achiever, or I'm a type 2, the helper? Well, what they're talking about is a system of personality entitled the Enneagram. And I'm going to do my best to explain this system to you quickly. The system is ancient and it's based on laws of 3, but the symbol itself is a circle with 9 types. And these types are categorized in centers of intelligence. So you have the belly center, which is at the top of the circle. You have the heart center and the head center. The belly center, or the gut, instinctual center, as some people call it, is centered around the emotion of anger or rage. And this type is looking for autonomy, dignity, and control or boundaries. The types that are in the body center are type 8, which is called the asserter or the challenger, type 9, which is the peacemaker, and type 1, which is the reformer. Then you have the heart center, which is centered around the emotion of grief or shame, and they are seeking love and attention from others. They want to know they have value, and they are seeking connection and are concerned with their identity, or rather false identity. And those are types 2, 3, and 4. 2 is often called the helper, 3 is the achiever, and 4 is the romantic or the individualist. Then you have the head center, and they center around the emotion of fear or even terror, and they're seeking security. And they want to know if they can trust, and they're looking for guidance. This is type 7, sometimes known as the explorer or the adventurer. Type 6, which is the loyalist, the team player. And type 5, which is the observer. So right away, just from that quick description, maybe you already found your center of intelligence. Are you a body type that's concerned with resistance and control of your environment and people, and you have issues with aggression or repression? Type 1s repress their anger. And do you seek autonomy? Is your underlying feeling rage? Or are you in the heart center? Are you concerned with the love of your false self or self-image? Like, how do you appear to others, your identity? And do you get hostile when people don't see you the way you want to be seen? Are you seeking attention? And when people don't understand you, do you feel shame? Do you feel worthless if you're not being helpful, or if you're not successful, or if you don't feel unique or special? Or are you in the head triad? Are you concerned with strategies and beliefs? Are you insecure? Do you have anxiety? Are you always looking for danger that's lurking and how to solve it? And are you seeking security? And do you feel fear or terror? So that's the overview of the entire system and all the types. So type eights direct their energy outward against the environment. They express their anger, and their focus is on injustice. So that's what they're constantly thinking about. Now, I want to make a correction here. A lot of times, people that don't understand what the Enneagram is for, they will use it as a label. I am the challenger. I am type 8. When really, you are not that. That is what you are presenting to the world, and it's actually a false identity. Psychologist Carl Jung believed that we all had a true self with a capital S, which was God's image in us. But the ego tends to take over, and the ego is not who we truly are. It's a limited 2D version of ourselves. And that's what the Enneagram is. The Enneagram gives us clues as to what our areas of growth should be. And then we can go to the Bible, we can go to whatever we consider our higher power to help us grow out of those limiting patterns. So as a parent, to give an example, the type 3 is called the achiever, and America is sometimes called the land of the three. And if you identify yourself as the achiever, that sounds wonderful, but that's a two-dimensional version, because we can't always be achievers. We can't always be successful. But a type 3 overemphasizes, this is how they defend in the world. That's how their ego bolsters themselves against failure. They want to look successful, and their passion or their sin is deceit, because they will pretend to be successful. They will play the part to look successful because they're wearing this false identity of I am the achiever, I am successful. And sure enough, this is part of how God wired them. There are people that are wired to be goal-oriented and to achieve, but as Timothy Keller says, if your FOS is active, that is your flesh operating system, it takes something that's good, and you know the way God designed you, it takes that and it distorts it, and it makes that achievement or that success the heart, the center of what you're doing, rather than God or your higher power being the center of who you are. And we all know that there are many different definitions of success. And part of being successful is knowing how to be a good loser. And so that's what I mean by your Enneagram title is a false identity, because you feel like you have to be this thing or you're not worthy. So another example would be a type 9 is the peacemaker. That's a wonderful title. I mean, that is a lot of the fruits of the Spirit. Whenever I look at the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, kindness, like a type 9 is humble, a type 9 is patient and peaceful. They have so many fruits of the Spirit. But a type 9, their false identity is that I am not someone who brings about conflict. I am peaceful at all costs. And so what can happen is your type 9 becomes complacent and apathetic and too slothful, that's their passion, too slothful to assert themselves because they want to be peaceful at all costs. And so they'll sacrifice their own identity or true identity two feelings to be peaceful. Another example would be a type 8 is the asserter or the challenger. And a type 8 wants to look strong at all costs. And yes, God designed this type to be strong, but they don't always have to be strong. In fact, growth for a type 8 is to show their vulnerability and to be able to admit their weaknesses. And so the point is, you want to try to start not looking like your type. You want to try to start looking like all the other types. And many people use the Enneagram as an excuse not to grow. For instance, a type 1, which is called the reformer or the perfectionist, they could start wearing that with pride and getting more and more into their false ego and bolstering their ego by talking about what a perfectionist they are, when really growth for them needs to be learning how to let people be perfectly imperfect and letting things go. That would be growth for a type 1, rather than them using that label as an excuse to be even more of a perfectionist. So a good rule of thumb is, if you are proud of your Enneagram type and title, you probably don't know much about the Enneagram because your title goes along with a lot of growth areas. And so it's really important to look at all the types and their growth areas and to be compassionate for people and realize that everyone has their struggle. And then to also realize that everyone has amazing qualities that we can all grow from. And what better place to figure this out than in a family with all those Enneagram types together under one roof? You know what these patterns are in your children? You can help coach them into their strengths and coach them out of this false identity. The Enneagram can be used improperly by labeling someone as their weakness. And this is not how it's supposed to be used. It's a tool for growth and a tool to help you become conscious of your unconscious patterns. So a type 8 directs their energy outward against the environment. They express their anger. They focus on injustice. So every type has a fixation that they focus on more than anything else. And growth for each type is to learn when they're focusing on that thing and to try to shift their focus to something else, whether that be a Bible verse to meditate on, or whether it's the environment, whether it's breathing, focusing on the breath. So a type 1's energy is directed inward against their internal impulses. They repress their anger and focus on what is wrong. So they can become critical because they're always focusing on what's wrong, both in themselves and the environment around them, and even in people around them. And so because they repress this anger, they can come across as being kind of passive aggressive or irritable or cranky. And whenever that's happening, it's so important for the type one to ask, why am I feeling this way? What am I trying to control that I can't control? Because the body type is all about control and giving it over to God or to your higher power. A type 9's energy is directed both inward and outward, directed against both inward and outward threats. A type 9 completely denies their anger and they focus on the external and comfort. So if you were to ask a type 9, a peacemaker, or tell them, did you know that your emotion is anger? They'd be like, what? Because they deny it. And what commonly happens with a type 9 is they won't even know they're angry until 2 weeks later. And, or sometimes they'll bottle up that anger and they'll just explode. Then you have a type two. Their self-image is because they're concerned about their self-image. That's what they think about. The body center thinks about control, controlling their environment and doing something about it. Whereas this heart triad, they are concerned with their false image. And so two's self-image is directed outwardly to others. I am helpful. And they focus, their focus is on being liked by others. So they're fixated on that. And if something comes up, a conflict, they will just lose it over that. And because they need to be liked, and that's what they're focused on. Type four, that's me, self-image is presented inwardly to themselves. I am special. And they focus on their internal feelings. And so a type four will sometimes think that they are their feelings and that their feelings are truth, which is not the case at all. And type fours always try to do something in a little different kind of way. They try to be unique because they present this image of I am special. And type three self-image is presented both to themselves and to others. I am outstanding, or I am successful. And they're constantly focused on doing, on accomplishing their goals and making lists so that they can be the very best. And so whenever you're doing any of these things kind of too much, it means that you're covering something up. You're covering up these feelings of shame. And so for a type three, if they're overdoing or making too many lists, frantically doing, it's because they're feeling like they're not successful and they have to try to be successful. So then in the head triad, which they're concerned with strategies and beliefs, type fives, they flee inward due to fear of aspects in the outside world. They can have some social anxiety. They feel like they're not going to show up with enough information, with enough knowledge. And so their focus is on conserving their energy. They're constantly thinking about, is this going to deplete my energy? If I say yes to this event, will that deplete my energy? This person looks like they want to have a conversation. I don't know if I want to make eye contact because I don't want to engage because that's going to drain my energy. Sevens, type sevens, flee outward due to fear of aspects in their inner world. They focus on being happy and having fun. So they both are trying to control their fear in different ways. One is fleeing inward to their inward mind and away from the outside world. And the other one is doesn't want to be in their mind. So they're fleeing to the outside world to just have fun and focus. They're focused constantly on what's the next big thing I want to do to avoid the fear. And then type sixes, they're indecisive. They flee inward to avoid external threats, and they flee outward to avoid internal fears. They can seem indecisive and are always thinking about the worst case scenario. Be prepared could be their motto. They focus on detecting problems or threats. And because they're so focused on that, they might find problems that they didn't intend to find because they're constantly focused on threats and problems. So I like to say that Myers-Briggs is brain wiring. That is your child's hardware, whether they're an introvert or an extrovert, an intuitive, a sensor, a thinker, feeler, judger, or perceiver. But the Enneagram is the behavior pattern that sprouts up out of this hard wiring. So it's like Myers-Briggs is the nature piece and the Enneagram is the nurture piece. So once you know your child's Enneagram type, you can begin to notice patterns that are forming, whether they are anger-based, control-based, fear-based, security-based, attention-based, and you can really help your child, because children can't really express why they're acting out. And knowing whether they're acting out because they don't feel seen or because they're afraid or because they can't control something. When I work with families, we do a Myers-Briggs assessment and we look at Carl Jung's psychological functions of the brain. And then we also do an Enneagram evaluation for the whole family. So as I mentioned, I am a type 4, and type 4s have really bad stereotypes about them, that they're depressed, that they're kind of an Eeyore type. But I am a different type of subtype of a 4, which looks more like a type 3, the achiever. But I do have this very quirky side to me, which type 4s want to be special. They want to be different. And one of those quirky things was my dancing on the highway in a blizzard. So the reason I am doing not so normal parenting is that I do work with a lot of unicorn personality types that are rare, as well as step families and adopted families. But I myself am a unicorn and my daughter's a unicorn. And so I am kind of an expert in unicorns and rare types. And so I wanted to share that this experience of dancing on the highway, we were stuck in a blizzard on the interstate in Colorado. We were stuck for 4.5 hours. And my son, who is an aux type, he's a type 9, a peacemaker, his anger was coming up, his repressed anger. And he hated that we were stuck there. He had to go to the bathroom. He was hungry. And so I just cranked up the radio, and the song that happened to be playing was Everybody by the Backstreet Boys, a total mom jam. And so I got out of the car and I thought we were going to recreate La La Land, you know, where I would get everybody else out of their cars and we'd all be dancing on the highway, because La La Land is one of my son's favorite movies and I thought it would cheer him up. But oh man, he hated it because the music was too loud. I was annoying. I was embarrassing. And my daughter was filming the whole thing. And the next thing I knew, after we posted it on Facebook, we saw ourselves on the BBC in Britain. And we were getting comments that, oh, she's such a tidy mom. And others were calling me frumpy, and others were calling me narcissistic, and others were saying, get back in the car, that's unsafe. And you could literally see all the perspectives and all the personality types in the comments. And I was just laughing because I thought it was so funny. But the parenting tip in all this is, when you can stick a good memory to a bad memory, that good memory will never fade from your children's mind, because we remember bad things more than we remember good things. So by doing that funny thing in the midst of that terrible situation, it's something that my kids will never, ever forget. And of course, going viral helped them to remember it. And I just have to say this, for any of you that are fans of U2 and Bono, Bono wrote about me in his autobiography. And so that was pretty funny. Princess Kate wrote about it. The Backstreet Boys themselves tweeted about it. So that's that story. I wanted to share that with you because this is called Not So Normal Parenting, and I wanted you to know why I'm not so normal. So going back to the Enneagram, your thought for the day is that your soul is like a precious field from which you must root out the useless grasses, thorns, and briars in order to reveal the beauty of God's image glistening inside. Thanks so much for listening. It would be way too normal and expected for me to ask you for a review. So if you learned something new or just wanted to show the love, instead I'll just say, eat some soup. And that'll be my special way of asking, but not asking. So eat some soup. It'll make you feel all good and warm inside. And as a thank you, I'd love to offer you two free resources. The first is a beautifully illustrated ebook entitled 14 Instant Ways to Form a Deeper Connection with Your Child. And the second is a free child temperament test and video for gaining new insight into one of your children. You'll find these free resources at wendygossett.com. And you can also check out many helpful articles, as well as buy a copy of Your Child's Inner Drive, Parenting by Personality from Toddlers to Teens. Or maybe you're ready. You're tired of riding the cranky train because there isn't enough peace in your home. So make the move and sign up for my Understanding Your Family 101 Brain Mapping Personality session. There are scads of helpful videos on my YouTube channel at Wendy Gossett, including the silly one of me dancing in a blizzard on the highway, embarrassing my child. So until next time, friends, keep dancing through the quirks and chaos of parenting, because who needs normal when you can thrive in the extraordinary?